welcome to Pixelated Radio, playing the best of yesterday and today. I'm your host, Henry Span, and with me as always is Kush.
Hello, everybody.
I am better. I was sick as a dog, and that's why you had to do a show by yourself.
Yeah, you're Jesus. He died, and now you've been resurrected.
I am no Jesus, sir.
But, right? Today's the whole day when he comes back? I don't remember.
It's Easter, yeah. Good Friday is the day that he was crucified and died.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Why are they called Good Friday? Oh, it's so good. Look at him. Look at all that pain.
Because he died for our sins.
But it was so painful for him. I don't think it was a Good Friday for him. He's like, damn, it's a fucked up Friday.
Yeah, but he sacrificed himself for us so that we could get into heaven. And then you damn atheist go and ruin it for not.
I'm no atheist.
You're agnostic.
I'm not agnostic.
Then I don't know what the hell you are.
I'm just nothing. I don't like these. Because I don't.
Like these terms.
No, but I don't. Because agnostic, I don't like that at all. Because I think that's the stupidest. Anyone who's agnostic, I think, is an idiot. Because it's all based on, oh, we need proof. And if you have proof, then you can't have faith. So what's the fucking point?
That's a good point.
So I don't understand that entire mentality at all. So I don't want to call myself that, but I'm not somebody who's going to say, oh yeah, there's absolutely nothing out there, but I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to call myself agnostic because of that single reason.
So there needs to be another term to make things even more complicated.
No, I just feel like there doesn't need to be a term. I just say I'm not religious. That's it. Yeah. So don't fucking say, oh, you're agnostic. No, I'm just not religious. That's it. I'm nothing, so just shut your fucking mouth. Let me leave me be. Great way to start the show.
We have some things to talk about today since I missed last week, but or last episode.
What I do want to ask before we start is just, would you want to even talk about BioShock Infinite during the regular show, or would you just rather do it at the end and do a spoiler cast?
Well,
I don't even know how to talk about it at all without, like, you could be, there's no point, I feel like.
I think we need to talk about the game in the beginning, just for the simple fact of Ross's question, Gladtrak's question, because I don't want to put that at the end of the show, because he hasn't finished the game, so he couldn't even hear our own answer.
Yeah.
So, do you want to do a spoiler thing at the end of this show?
I would like to.
Okay. Okay.
Like, and I don't even know how to spoil it. I just know that there are someone. I feel like talking about the game in general is just like you're prone to spoilers.
Yeah.
Even talking about gameplay or anything.
Yeah, kind of, but I think we can skirt around the main issue of the game. I just want to talk about maybe the things I had problem with in the game that were not story specific. I say we go ahead and just get that, just a little bit of the BioShock Infinite out of the way.
All right.
Okay. First off, Vodcrack had a question. We're going to go ahead and hit this. It's pretty long, but yeah.
Do you have it in front of you or I?
Yeah,
I've
got it in front
of me. Okay.
I'm just writing to say that I've played the first couple hours of BioShock Infinite, and I have to say, where is this amazing game everyone's talking about? Yeah, it has better gunplay from the older BioShock. Not saying much. And the graphics are nice, but I just don't seem to be getting BioShock Infinite. What is it that I'm missing? I know what I'm missing. Horror. System Shock 2 and BioShock had strong horror trappings, but Infinite is happy walk in the park comparison. I love discovering how messed up the Von Braun Rapture was, and those games really put me on edge. In Infinite, I'm not really that engaged by Columbia in quite the same way. A sky city is nowhere near as cool as an underwater city. Let's be honest here. Especially when everyone is happy and not getting brained by deranged lunatics. And to top it all off, they put in a regenerating shield and 2-weapon limit. Which is just fucking brilliant, isn't it? I bet that's sarcasm. I just don't get it, guys. Why do people think this game is so amazing? I'm glad that Ken Levine actually used some gray matter when creating the story and not recycling the same plot all over again. Which is what bothered me when people said BioShock's story was so brilliant. But please, help me open my eyes. I honestly feel like it's my fault. I am stupid. I want to have an epiphany. Why is BioShock Infinite so amazing? From longtime listener and friend, Ross, also known as Vodcrack. So,
I would say it's not so amazing. Personally, I really love the story. And I do think the world is very interesting and all that. But I do fall in the line where I think that the gameplay, it is not really that different from BioShock.
It's really not.
The whole Skyhook crap, I don't think that's some amazing, like, oh my God, it feels so great. I'm like, whatever. I barely ever used it when I'm around it. I just used it to get from point A to point B when I had no other choice.
Right.
I wouldn't use it in battles and start jumping and flipping off of it. I don't care about that. And yeah, I think the enemies in this game are less interesting. There's nothing anywhere near as interesting as the Big Daddy.
Yeah, the only thing that's close to that is handyman,
but they're not interesting to fight at all.
No, and to me they're just normal enemies that are a little tough.
They're just big. I thought there was potential for them to be interesting when you first see it in the game, and it's more like this giant gorilla of a man who seems to be somewhat shy and kind of like
off put
by what has become of him. And I thought maybe there'd be something to do with that, but then it's just like no. Whenever he's in battle, he's just like a big old tank, and you just have to shoot him until he's dead.
Yeah. The things that really I enjoyed the game. I think I enjoyed the ending and stuff in the game more than you did. But to me, the problems I had with the game, I'll go back to the mechanics of it. This game feels very archaic when you put it side by side with newer first person shooters. For a game, you know, it's been in development for a while, it does feel a lot like the original BioShock.
It just feels like they've done nothing with the gameplay. All the time has been spent on the story. And the story, I mean, it shows that the story is really well put together, really well thought out when, everything comes to an end and all that. But the gameplay is just the same old. And I put it like, I enjoy playing Tomb Raider so much, but the story I could care less about. I love the story of BioShock Infinite, but it's the gameplay I don't really care about.
And the fact that they took away all your weapons and you only get to carry two really bothered me.
Yeah, it's a little bit annoying. I also say that, like, I prefer BioShock, and one thing that I prefer over that is that I feel like that is more of a personal story, and there's more exploration in that game where you can, it's not like completely open or anything, but I feel like you have more choice in how you get to there, even if it's just the illusion of choice.
Mm-hmm.
But in BioShock Infinite, I felt like I was being pushed in the direction that they wanted me to go the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of annoying. And also, just that simple, the ending is definitely more well thought out, and the gameplay aspect of the ending is better in Infinite. But the ending for me, because I saved all the little sisters in BioShock, and just, I'm still somebody who is a big, I praise the, whatever, 30-second, if even that, CGI cutscene. With just you seeing all the girls' hands as they've been grown up, I thought that was really moving, and like it just felt more personal. Where this other story is more, I don't know. It's like it's a story for everyone, and it's really well thought out. But I didn't feel the same connection.
But I do like the fact that they actually gave Booker a personality instead of just here's a character. You put your own feelings into it, because I think that's important for the story itself.
Yeah, for this story. You couldn't have done it without that.
Right.
And his, Troy Baker did a really good job as it. I will say at one point, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's a point where Elizabeth cries. And I thought that it sounded like so out of place. Like she was fake crying. Whether that was intentional, I don't know, but it just sounded so like she was forcing it at that moment.
I do love Elizabeth as a character, though.
Yeah, definitely a good, interesting character.
And I love the joke that's been going on Reddit and stuff, and I even posted it on Facebook, where it was a picture of just Elizabeth, and it says, worst escort mission ever, and it says, you have to give me money, weapons, and salts.
I love it. Hey, I found some money. Do you want it? What the fuck do you think? Of course I want it. Just give me the goddamn money.
All that stuff is so cool. But the other problem I have with that game is, and which I understand why they did it, but it just feels so weird, is the fact that enemies do not bother her at all. It's like she doesn't exist.
I think they had to do that or just be completely annoying and frustrating, and everyone would hate it then.
I understand that, but it's just when you see it, as long as you're not thinking about it, it doesn't bother you. But the moment you see her huddled down an enemy walk right past her, it kind of takes you out of the whole game for just a second. You're like, oh, but then again, there's so much shooting going on.
Just think of it this way. They can't go after her because then you'll just fucking kill them if they're preoccupied with her. So they have to get you out of the way first.
Yeah. I'm just saying this is one of the issues I had.
I want to know where she keeps all the syringes for when you die and she sticks you with them. Where do all those come from?
She's probably got one of them.
And how come I never see them anywhere else in the game?
She's probably got one of them thigh holsters.
And I have to say, you know, it could just be my personality that I have a problem and I have to do it. But I kind of wish they didn't have all the shit lying around that you could pick up and garbage cans you could check. And like, because I can't. I have to, like, I'll eat everything. My health is fine. I have to eat everything. It doesn't matter.
Well, here, that's something else that's annoying, too, is when you get to a trash can or whatever, and it may have two pieces of food and 17 coins, and you're like, there's no way to pick what you want. You have to take it all.
I don't know if that's true, because I always just take it all anyway.
Well, I couldn't
figure out. But I'm assuming you could probably just press down and, like, A, because you could do that. I'm assuming you can, but I never.
No, I don't know. I tried everything, and I couldn't figure it out, so.
But it's also like, oh, they're just, these people just throw away lockpicks and weapons and everything. So, whatever.
But, I did enjoy the game, though, and we'll spoil it at the end of the show, so you probably don't want to listen to that. But that's probably all we'll talk about BioShock.
Yeah.
I guess we kind of really didn't answer his question. He's talking about the horror in the game. I don't really remember BioShock being that scary. Anyway.
I mean, it was more atmospheric, I'd say, than scary. I mean, there were moments where I was kind of scared. Just, I wouldn't say I was scared. It's just kind of like, I always go back to the point where you're in the dentist's office and you go up to like one of the chairs or something. And then I remember, like, I don't know if it happens for everyone in that way, but I went to the chair and like I tried to move backwards. Like I didn't turn around and I couldn't. And I thought my game was like busted or something. So then I tried turning around, and there was a splicer right up in my face, and that freaked the shit out of me.
That happens to me at one point in BioShock Infinite, and it was on the video when it happened. I streamed me playing the last 3 hours of this game last night for actually Hotcakes Man and Zombie Princess. They were there for moral support. So,
I heard about that.
Yeah, it was fun. It was nice to do that. So, and then this morning I got up and Twitch TV took it down, so I don't know what the deal was with that. So,
who knows?
maybe 2K's. 2K is one of those that don't like their games endings and stuff put up on YouTube and shit. So,
well, it's currently up on our fucking YouTube page.
So, anyway, that's BioShock Infinite, and we'll, like I said, we'll discuss it more at the end and actually the ending and stuff.
And this isn't a spoiler, but during the end credits, I love the video.
That was awesome.
Every game should have that.
Did you get to the part in the game where that actually they're singing that song together?
It's not as long as the video.
No, I really wish it was, though, but it's still beautiful.
Yeah, I found that. I like those kind of moments.
Yeah. So I brought that up to Zombie Princess and Kevin, Hotcakes Man, and I know Kevin said he didn't see it, but I can't remember if Zombie Princess had seen it or not, so. But I thought that was a great scene.
It's a great moment that it reminded me of how much I love the darkness. And I would just wish Starbreeze is the name of the studio that made it, right?
Yes.
I want more from them because they're so good at those moments in first person where you just have these quiet moments in their games.
Right. Well, apparently, that's probably going to show up on the sound.
What the hell was that?
That's somebody's mowing the grass outside. Awesome.
All right.
Anyway. So let's move on to Tomb Raider. I obviously finished this game because you have my copy right now.
Yes.
I noticed you have achievements now, so.
Oh, I finally got one because it takes forever to get a single achievement.
That's one thing that's weird about that game because I had the same problem as you when I first started playing that game because I was like, I didn't even get any achievements yet, and I was worried that I had a glitch. But apparently when I read the achievements, there's none based on the story except for like beating the game. So, most of them are just kill enemies with this in certain ways, and so, I really love the game. He's a ninja! Shing! Okay, that was weird.
Yeah, computer froze. Continue where you were in Tomb Raider.
I don't remember where I was at in Tomb Raider.
The beginning, I'm pretty sure, probably.
I really did enjoy Tomb Raider, even though it didn't really feel like Tomb Raider, it didn't. At least it didn't feel like Uncharted to me. I thought it felt more like a Batman Arkham City, Arkham Asylum type of game more than it did Uncharted, which I was very thankful for because, I don't know, man. People on the internet are still claiming it's Uncharted, and I just feel like that annoys.
Yeah, but it's Uncharted if Uncharted was fun to play and controlled really well, and the shooting was fun, which none of that is true. Uncharted, you know, completely blows it away in terms of story.
I don't know if that's true.
Except every, you know, I haven't played Uncharted 3, but Uncharted 1 and 2 both turn into Scooby-Doo at the end, so they fall on their face.
Oh, ghost!
But other than that, they're great story-wise.
So, you talked about it in the last week's show or last episode, how you thought the bow was amazing.
Yeah, I think that should be the only weapon you have.
I mean, you need the other weapons because they're especially when you're fighting the guys with shields and stuff
like
that.
Well, they shouldn't have those guys with the shields. They should have changed it and not made her such a crazy killer in the end.
So you ran into a bad glitch in the game. Your game wouldn't save or something?
It saved, but it did not save under my profile. Like, it logged me out, and I found out that after playing for hours, and, like, it wasn't under my profile or anything. It, like, screwed up everything. I had to recover my profile because it fucked it all up.
Wow, that's a weird glitch,
and it still won't let me install. It freezes every time I try to install it.
Huh.
I don't know. And it's not my 360 because I installed Bioshock Infinite, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
The Walking Dead, Survival Instinct. There's plenty of problems with that, but there's no problem installing it or running it or anything. So I don't know what the hell is wrong with.
That's true. It's strange because I didn't have any trouble installing it.
Yeah, huh. I don't think it's some kind of widespread issue. I think they're. I don't know. Weird to me.
So did it really suck though, having to go through the beginning of that game again?
Yeah, I'm still. Like, the beginning really sucks, and just right now, until I get to where I left off, I'm just completely frustrated, even though I like the way it plays and everything. I'm just like, I just want to get through this crap. I already know. I've already done all this shit, and I'm annoyed that I'm doing it again.
Now, are you playing it on hard?
No.
No?
Because there's no point.
Yeah. I was going to go back through and play the game on hard, and I decided against it because there's no achievements linked to it or
anything. Exactly. So. I will never, ever, I have no desire to play games on extreme difficulty unless I'm getting something out of it, even though an achievement is really nothing.
Oh, man. So, but Tomb Raider, I really did enjoy it.
Yeah. It didn't sell well enough.
Yeah.
3.4 million or whatever.
3.4 million copies it sold, but that wasn't good enough because it's got to sell at least 5 million. That's just, so wrong that they have to do that much marketing to. I worry about the next console cycle. I really do. It seems like it gets worse and worse as it gets closer and closer.
It's ridiculous. If it's true that it's not making enough money in terms of how much they put into it, then they put too much into it.
Yeah.
If that's not good enough, then you're doing something wrong.
Well, and the same things has happened with like Dead Space 3 is. It sold 3 million copies, but they're saying it did sell good enough because it has to sell 5 million copies to make its money back. There's a lot of games that never sell 5 million copies. That's Call of Duty numbers.
And if it just needs to do that over the course of its lifetime, then don't be. I mean, like, this is the first month that Tomb Raider came out,
mm-hmm.
So maybe have a little patience, Jesus Christ.
But anyway, that's it for. What we've been playing. So, what I have been playing is I picked up God of War Ascension, which is the new God of War prequel. I have some issues with this game.
You mean because it's God of War, and God of War has never been that great?
No, come on now. I love my God of War.
Well, God of War 2, I'll give you that.
I thought God of War 1 and 2 are the best in the series.
Well, yeah, I think was great at the time. I don't know if I'd go back to it and feel the same entirely.
I've gone back and played it, and it's still pretty good. I played on the, you know, the collections or whatever on remastered.
Mm-hmm.
It's still pretty good, and I think the ones on PSP are really good, even the upgrade remasters of those. But God of War 3, I didn't get into it till like about halfway through, and then I kind of played through. This one here, the problem is like, it seemed like they've toned a lot of stuff back. Like, I mean, I guess because it is a prequel, but the stuff that they added just isn't as interesting. So you get, you only have the chains of Olympus, or in this one, or the blades of Olympus, whatever they're called. And you don't get any other weapons, but you get elemental attacks based on four different gods. You get water, lightning, death, and fire. So you get all these attacks. You can change them on the fly, but to me, it's just not as interesting because you're still fighting with the chains. You're just fighting with the chains. They did add some stuff where you can grab an enemy with one of your other chains and then beat the shit out of another enemy while holding onto that one and then eventually throw it. There are some really devious puzzles in this game, and that's another problem with this game is they give you, you get powers in this game where you can decay things or heal things in the environment that are part of puzzles, or just there's a middle state, like stuff may crumble. Well, you can stop it mid-crumble, so you can use it as platforms to climb up. Everybody's seen this in the videos. In theory, it sounds great. In execution, it's a big problem with this game because a lot of the puzzles just kind of really confuse me because I'm not sure. They want you to do a whole lot of break this now, do this, pull this chain now that it's broken. Now heal the chain back so it locks it. And there's just a lot of weird shit like that. You're just kind of like, to your mind, it doesn't make sense in the world. So that's a big problem. I'm hopefully going to go through and finish it soon because I'm pretty close to the end. I haven't had any trouble finding all the upgrades for your feathers. And even the magic system in this game just is weird. You don't get like the items like you did in the other games, like the Medusa head and stuff that can turn enemies to stone. It just seems really – it just feels really flat.
Did you play the multiplayer?
I have not played that. I was waiting to finish the game before I did that, which is probably stupid because nobody's probably playing it. I hear it's kind of fun, though. But I might throw that on there and check that out before the next episode. Another big problem I have with this game is the camera. A lot of times, they just like to really pull back so you can get a good view of the whole world that you're fighting in. The problem is then you're fighting with Kratos the Ant. And you can't see, because the only thing you can see is your blades, because they're a different color. But that doesn't make it easy to dodge enemies and stuff, and you're still getting attacked while all this is going on, and it's real fucking annoying to not be able to see anything and then realize your health's going down. And I really got annoyed at the whole bros versus hoes thing. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. I think it's impossible not to hear about that.
Yeah. I just thought that was so stupid. It's just, I don't know, man. It's just, stuff like that just gets ignorant. It doesn't have anything to do. I don't know, man. I have that part recorded on Twitch TV if anybody wants to watch me getting that trophy, if it's still up there. Well, actually, I got bros versus foes because they changed it before I got it.
Yeah.
But I just think
I would be in the camp that says what you do is the bigger problem than just the name of the trophy.
But I don't
think the action.
It's not even the action because this bitch is trying to kill you. I mean, she's literally been after you since the beginning of the game. And so you smash her face in. I don't know. I just, they're not, she's not a female. She's a fucking demon from fucking the Hecatronk. That's something else about this game, too. I don't know what the fuck. I've followed Greek mythology and read Greek mythology. I've never heard of the Hecatontrius or whatever it's called. I don't know where that came from.
I do not know.
So, I don't know.
I don't really care about the game anymore just because I'm sick of how the game has just gotten progressively more violent in the terms of like how you can destroy some of these enemies. And I'm like, I don't see the point of it. It just seems excessive.
The thing is, it's not excessive. It's actually a step back. I mean, in the last one, you ripped the guy's head off. And
yeah,
seen
I didn't like that. I didn't.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
And it's gone away from that. It's not that brutal. It's less brutal than any game it's
ever
been.
Or maybe you've just grown weak to it. You're just
no.
accepting of it. You're like, you fucking like beat Halo with your belt all the time. And you're like, I don't, violence what?
You ain't right. I just don't think.
I'm not the one beating my dog with a belt.
But so, you know, I just,
you
see, I don't know.
You laughed about it. That means it's true.
Yeah, it's true. You're right. I beat Halo. I don't know, man. They just want shit.
I beat Halo 3.
Yeah, I was there.
I know. You were there hiding in the corner just so that when I died, I'd be able to come back and not have to start over at the checkpoint. God, I hate the checkpoint in that game. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, checkpoint is even worse than Halo 4, so you might want to stay away from that.
I thought about picking up Halo 4 that's at my local half-price bookstore, and I have credit, so I could get it for like $5.
Hmm. You should probably get that for $5. The multiplayer's fun.
If it's even still there.
Yeah. So, let's see here. I played some Terraria on the Xbox 360. I picked that one up.
How does it control? Because I've played it on PC.
It's got two different modes when you're doing your place and stuff and everything. You can hit, if you push down on the right thumb pad, it changes to a cursor, so that way you can put the cursor anywhere in the world and kind of put where you want the blocks to go. And then if you don't have that mode hit, then like when you're swinging the pickaxe, it'll just hit in an arc. It doesn't control too bad. I've never really played much with the PC version just because I didn't know if it had controller support, and I didn't want to dig out my controller at the time. I know I have it on PC. Right. I just never played it.
You're not the biggest PC.
Yeah, I'd rather sit on my chair. But this game is basically a 2D Minecraft, but I don't think it's as good as Minecraft. But I do love the exploring in it and going and trying to find items and stuff and when you dig down. But to me, the building and everything is just not as, it's not as satisfying to build little structures in the world. And I do like the fact, though, when you build a house, somebody moves in. That would be amazing if Minecraft introduced some kind of mode like that where you build a house and people move into your little areas, because I would be building fucking houses all over the place in Minecraft. But it's kind of fun. I definitely would like to. We've played a little bit with Sean and Steven, and so we haven't played very much. I started out on a large world, the largest world you can have on the Xbox version. And it may be too large for me, so I'd scale back. I started a small world just so I get used to the game. And it's not that bad. I just think that the problem is in this game is that when nighttime comes, it's forever. And there's no way to go to bed like in Minecraft and get to the next day. So stuff like that really annoys me because I'm like, I want to go out and explore, but I don't want to get raped by Eaters of the Dead and zombies and everything like that. And I haven't found any...
I didn't even know you could do that in Minecraft.
What? Get a bed? If you make a bed, sleep in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's got to sleep at the same time, too. If you're playing with more than one person, everybody's got to go to bed at the same time, but it'll skip to the day. So now you know. So, yeah, but that's Terraria. It's cool. I'm going to play it some more. Let's see. Gears of War Judgment. I wanted to leave the other two in a second. Gears of War Judgment, this game I'm having a real big problem with. I feel like this game's a big fucking ripoff, which sucks because I really liked People Can't Fly's Bulletstorm. And the problem with this game is that Gears of War always had these pretty long levels, and you're going through one area to another. There's little bits of story bits in between them. But this one feels like you go to one location in a mission and fight a whole bunch of enemies, and then you leave the area and it's over. There's not really much exploring in the game. There's not much story beats. It's just, okay, oh, we're going to run here? Okay, we got to fight all these enemies. The thing I do like, though, is they added something called Declassified. They call it Declassify, where parts of the mission are supposedly classified information because you're on trial. But if you unlock these, then it shows the whole story of what actually happened. So it may be like, oh, you've got to, the video shows me doing the thing where you had to fight the Seraphid eggs. So you got to find 10 of these eggs or you have to fight all these Seraphids at the end of the level. Now, if you didn't find, if you just skipped that, you wouldn't get as many points. And these stars unlock ranks and stuff in the game. And if you get 40 of these stars in all the missions, then you unlock a mode called Aftermath, which is really says it plays a lot like Gears of War 3. And I don't know how long that is, but there's only one achievement for finishing it. And I really want to get to that, but the problem is I'm just so bored with this game. It's just, not as exciting.
I heard that Aftermath is pretty long.
It's pretty long, longer than you probably expect. Wow. So that's pretty awesome. So I really need to go back and finish Gears of War Judgment.
And I've heard it's like awesome.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. That's one of the reasons I wanted to finish it. But it's just like to get to it. And it's something I do like that they did in Gears of War Judgment is that every chapter, because you know you get your five chapters in the game, I think it is five or six, you play as a different character. So you're not playing as Barrett all the way through, which is kind of interesting because you get their story perspective. So like the first area is you're playing as Barrett, and then you play as Sophia, the chick that's in the game.
That's the first time you've ever played as a woman in a Gears game, right?
No, Anya was in Gears of War 3.
You played as her, though?
Well, you didn't. Well, if you had four players, you did. Somebody did.
Okay.
So, but yeah, as a single-player game, it's the first time you've ever played a woman in a Gears of War game. Here's the other problem with this game and why I feel like it's a ripoff. When you get to the multiplayer modes, there's the Overrun mode, which is their new mode that's kind of like a cross between Horde and Left 4 Dead. And then your regular multiplayer team deathmatch and stuff like that. There are only four maps. That is ridiculous.
Season pass, baby.
Well, there's four maps. Now there's six because they gave you Friday, they released two new maps.
Yeah, I downloaded that crap.
You downloaded that?
I always download something when it's free because I'm never sure if it's like, oh, this is the time, like, oh, the first 2 weeks, and then it goes to whatever.
Yeah. So, to me, that seems like this is a big ripoff with the way that game is structured. To me, the Overrun mode is just fun as hell, though. It's kind of hard because I don't think we've ever successfully won. But the whole idea is you start at a location, you play as the humans, where you're trying to defend an ascension hole or ascension hole. I don't know what they're called, an e-hole. You're trying to keep the monsters from opening those up. And every time that they survive long enough to do that, then you move to you back up a section. I guess it's not so much Left 4 Dead as it is that mode in Battlefield, the control point. I don't know what it was called, the one that they brought in last in Battlefield Bad Company.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that's what it feels like. As soon as you Gold Rush mode. Yeah. You try to get to a hole, blow that up, and then once that's over, it moves you back, and you have to keep fighting. The monsters have to keep fighting forward. What's fun is, like, in Horde mode, you play as the monsters as well. So, it's fun to play as the little tickers that can run up on enemies and blow up next to them and kill them. It's fucking fun. But you gotta keep, when you're the monsters, you're basically trying to cut down the defenses to get to the e-holes, blow up whatever's guarding it. And it's all class-based. Like, the humans, you know, you have a medic, an engineer, a soldier, and a scout. So, you know, depending on what class you pick, it depends on what weapons you get and what ability. Each one's got a special ability. Like, the engineer can throw down a turret that lasts for, like, 20 seconds or until somebody destroys it. The medic can throw down or can heal, you know, stuff like that. But that's all fun. It's just the whole package of the game just feels kind of weak. But now that I know that Aftermath may be pretty long, it may be worth it just to rush through and get the 40 stars so I can open that up. But so far, the single player is pretty shit in that game. Lego City Undercover. Oh my god, this game's so fucking awesome. It's definitely the best Lego game there is. I did a quick look for it it was my second quick look? Yeah, second quick look.
Yeah.
I really do enjoy this game, and the humor and stuff in it is pretty much adult. Adult in a silly way. I don't think many kids are going to get the Shawshank Redemption.
I would highly doubt that. it's the best Lego game that no one is playing.
Yeah, exactly. But they should be. Like, I even went and looked at the Lego aisle yesterday at the City Legos, and they actually have a Chase McCain figure that you can buy that's with one of the sets. I thought it was really
fun. I'd love to play it.
I know.
Well, I'm sure there are a lot of people who are in my boat.
Yeah.
It's a big boat. It's the Titanic, and we're all sinking.
I just love that the city is real open, and it really does feel like a God of War, GTA city, you know, where there are people walking around. It doesn't feel like Batman 2 city was just kind of weak. This actually feels like
I stopped playing Batman 2 just because I was waiting for the city to open up. Like, I guess it does at some point, but it's very hand-holdy for, like, at least the first hour plus.
No, it stays pretty hand-holdy all the way through. That's kind of why I got bored with it. The story's good in Batman, too, though. I will say that. Especially once you get to Superman and all that. What I love about Lego City is just, like, the attention to details in it sometimes. It's like when you're driving around and you run into a car, the cars just don't explode automatically. They just start losing pieces. So it's like you keep hitting them a couple times. Eventually, they're just a little tray running around with four wheels and an engine that's popping up and down. And if you hit it one more time, the people jump out and the car flips up in the air and explodes like really real spectacular fashion. There's lots of unlockables in this game. It's really fun. I really am impressed with what they did with the game. It still feels like a Lego game, but it feels more alive as well. And it's really good. And if you got a Wii U, if you're not playing it, you're probably silly.
I'm interested to see exactly what the 3DS game is like, because I know that comes out in like a few weeks.
Yeah, I wasn't very interested in that because I heard that the draw distance was pretty bad and stuff like that. But after playing this game, I kind of do want to buy that now just to...
Yeah, it all depends on how similar it is. If it's just sort of a portable version of that, or if it's like really, really limited.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I definitely want to see the reviews on that. I definitely probably will. I probably might pick that up.
You pick up everything, so there's no probably.
Well, I don't know. I may not pick it up day one just because I'm going on a trip and everything next week. So,
day two. Day two.
Day two. Shit.
It's your souvenir.
I do want to know if it's got all the humor and stuff, because that's what really excites me about the Lego City, is just because it is pretty funny. And just like there's a section in the game where you can drive through all the... Well, not a section of the game. You can drive through the tunnels where the trains go through and stuff. And as a train goes by, you can hit X and jump on the train and ride the train just to the next destination. You can buy a ticket as well, so that way you can skip all that. But if you just want to ride the train, you jump in the train, and when it drives past like landmarks in the game, it'll actually pan the camera out and take. It just looks really cool. They did such a good job on this, and nobody's gonna play this game because it's on the Wii U.
What is the tablet? What does that offer?
It has a mini map, and it's also basically it's got a mini map, and then like there are areas in the game where you can hold the pad up and hit a button, and it'll actually find like the hidden Lego pieces in the world. So it'll tag them where they're at, so that way you can go find them. But you have to actually hold it up and literally move 360 degrees around the room and look at your walls and stuff to find these pieces in the game world on the map. And there's a lot of voices that come through it too. Like anytime somebody sends you a video call, you hit the little picture at the bottom of the screen, and it'll pop up on your screen, and they'll talk to you through the pad. It's really pretty innovative. It's, well, probably not innovative is not the word, but it's just something unique that this game does. I mean, I guess they could cut all that out and put it to another system if they had to.
Well, that would never happen. It was published by Nintendo.
Exactly. So, but then again, Mass Effect was published by Microsoft. You see what happened there eventually, so they may have rights to it for a
while.
That's
also EA.
Yeah. Well, no, EA didn't have anything to do with it at first.
But then they did.
Yeah. But, last thing I want to talk about was Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate on the 3DS and on the Wii U. I'm really loving this game. I need to do a video for it, but the video I wanted to do was trapping a monster. Unfortunately, every time I've tried, I've failed to trap the monster, and it's pissed me off, so I don't ever make the video. But
that would be a great video, you not catching a monster. You realize that failing is so much better than succeeding.
Yeah, but then I go into Rob Rage mode.
That's perfect. That's what people love. People don't like nice Rob.
Did you buy that PvSP game for $10?
Wait,
Monster
what?
Hunter, the Monster Hunter game, did you buy it on PSP? I seen you were asking about it.
Oh, did I? No, it's still on sale, I think, now for like two more days or something. I didn't. Because people said not to really do it.
Okay, so you've never played a Monster Hunter game though, right?
I played, I think, the first one that ever came out on PS2 for a little bit.
Okay, so basically, you know, it's just you're killing things and you're taking their skins and you're making a better armor so you can take on tougher enemies. That's pretty much, there's not really much of a story. It does have online on the Wii U.
I would be interested if the 3DS version had online play.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't, so there you go.
Yeah, that's weird. Apparently, somebody said they're talking about adding that at some point in the future.
Well, if they do, then maybe I'll think about it.
But
and then they'll add it right when Monster Hunter 4 is coming out.
Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate Edition. But the problem is that sometimes to get certain items, it's annoying. And like I've fought these stupid-ass Jagas, these things like raptors that's got the little fins on the side of their face. Well, I've been trying to get a King's Frill off one of those forever. And I guess I need to trap it and then attack it and beat its face in to get the frill off of it. But I have not been able to trap one yet. So, and that's what's somewhat annoying about the game, too, is the traps. You can only carry one with you at a time. And they're so hard to set up and get a monster at the right time to run into them that it's so fucking annoying. I don't know, man. I like it, but I don't know if I like it just because I've had nothing else to play until Bioshock Infinite came out. So, you know. Anyway, that's what I've been playing. I'm done.
All right. So I play The Walking Dead Survival Instinct.
Game of the year, right?
Game fucking
game is
sucks.
So awesome.
That game is terrible. It's just, it's not scary at all. The combat, like, it doesn't look that good visually. I can't believe forgot what podcast it was, but mentioned that just looking over someone's shoulder that this game looked more interesting than Zombie U, and I don't know how
oh,
that's
come
possible.
On.
But, yeah, it's just the story is whatever. It wasn't really interesting at all. Didn't really fledge anything out from where I got. I was probably halfway through the story. But, I mean, there are a lot of interesting ideas about it. The fact that there are at points branching paths, and like while you're traveling, like you choose either like highway or like side streets or just like
yeah,
the road.
Yeah, I heard it's a very Oregon Trail.
Yeah, and you know, depending on which road you pick, you end up either like you'll end up using a lot of fuel, or you'll have a better chance of finding like a gas station or a house on the side of the road so that you can get equipment, and you have to manage your fuel and all this stuff. I don't know what would happen if you actually ran out of fuel, so I have no idea if that would just be like game over, start over. And also, like, there are people that you can find in levels and you could take them with you depending on the car you have, how many seats you have, and the car also, like, will have different stats and how much fuel it uses or how big its trunk space is, so how many items you can keep with you. And when you are at a level, the people you have with you, you can either just tell them to stay at the car, or you can tell them, you know, while I'm playing, I want you to go out and search for fuel on here. I'll give you this weapon. You like this kind of weapon, so here, you can have this one. Or look for ammo or food or anything like that.
That all sounds interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the game has some really interesting ideas, but it just sucks.
It's Activision. That's the problem.
Well, the problem is it's Terminal Reality, who I think is like, they did, I don't know, like Hour of Victory or some shit. They did of those, like, or Turning Point, Fall of Man. They did like one of those like really bad first person shooters, and it's just not that good. Like, I've never really used a gun because there's no point. You use a gun and just like freaks all the zombies out, so why use it? And anytime you get in the melee, if you get surrounded, then you just end up in this endless loop until they're all dead of them grabbing you one by one, and then you having to do this sort of quick time event where you have to move the reticule over the zombie's head and then press the right trigger to shove your knife into its head. And you just do that forever.
Like, your video, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's just, that's what the game is. That really, like, that's the name of the video, because that is exactly what the game is. You just end up doing that. And it's just so frustrating. And the melee combat does not feel that good. I don't like the fact that they feel the need to always have zombies in the world so that you will leave an area and there will be no zombies left. And there's nowhere for them to actually come from. But, you know, if you go far enough away, they will repopulate that area.
Just a quick side note. Some of the game's Terminal Reality is responsible for Ghostbusters, the video game, which I thought was not bad.
That one's not bad.
Kinect Star Wars and the Blood Rain games.
Well, there you go. some masterful pieces of masterful work. It's bad. I rented a Redbox and
so you're saying I should go out and buy it for $60 is what you're saying?
Well, you can't because it came out at $50. It was steel.
Oh wow!
It's
I didn't know that.
Steal
at $50. Damn! Holy shit!
But yeah, don't play it. Don't even rent it at Redbox. I was like, forget it. I just returned it. I did not want to even waste my time finishing it because it's not fun at all. And even if you're a big fan of The Walking Dead, it's not worth it. The story isn't that, you know, enriching to the overall narrative.
But I want
to
know about Merle and Daryl.
No, you don't.
Merle.
I was about to spoil something, but no, you don't really care. So yeah, that's The Walking Dead survival instinct. Don't do it. Go play Jumper, the Griffin story instead. At least that game's only an hour. I also played finally Persona 4 Golden. Because it dropped to $30, and I'm like, I always said, like, even if it's just 10% off, that's all I need to justify purchasing it. So it dropped
to
30.
You're so dumb. You're so dumb.
No, I'm not.
Dumb.
How am I dumb?
You should have waited that game drops in price more. You have a copy already.
I don't care. I want to play it. I want to play it, and that's dropped enough, and it could drop more, but it could drop more in like months, and I really want to play that game because I love that game, and I want to support them because Atlus is an amazing company, and they deserve the support. I just wasn't going to support them with full price twice.
Did you buy Persona or the fighting game?
I haven't. I've played a little of it.
Okay.
But I stopped playing it just because I was playing it and I'm like, I can't multitask with this game because it really is just like cutscenes. Like, and then you have a fight for 2 seconds and then it's like a half an hour to an hour of just
story.
And I love that, but I'm like, I can't like listen to a podcast and play this game because I'm not playing the game. I'm watching the game and listening to it. So I'm like, I have to be in the right mood to not be multitasking. It's a problem. But yeah, Persona 4 Golden. I'm digging it. It's Persona 4. I like the new character, Marie.
I haven't gotten to her yet. I haven't got very far in that game.
Well, you do meet her very briefly right away. She bumps into you at the train station.
Oh, I did not realize that was a character in the game.
Yeah. So, I'm digging it. It's awesome.
I don't care. All I do is try to sex up Chie in that game.
I don't like her new voice. I know a lot of people complain about it. And that's so annoying. I just wanted to shut her damn mouth. But yeah, Persona 4 Golden is... No. She's a child. You sick son of a bitch. Underage.
Damn, you're right. Well, wait, she's 16 at least.
Underage.
That's legal here.
Underage.
Age of consent 16, so I'm good.
Well, good for you and your perverted state, you sick sons of bitches. I also played some iOS games, Super Stickman Golf 2, which is that like not side scrolling, but it's 2D, and you just have the stick band, and then you just it has a real feeling like miniature golf in that sense, not like an actual regular golf course, but more like that miniature golf, and you have to get through these obstacles and stuff. I think it's really fun. I think it's only $1, so it's fun. There's multiplayer.
No fairway solitaire, though, right?
No, I'll get to that later. But it's fun, and there are a few multiplayer modes. There's a asynchronous multiplayer mode where you go back and forth, obviously, and then there's also one where you play against somebody up to 3 other players at online at the same time, and you're just at a race to finish each hole. So that's pretty fun too.
Sounds like the last orgy I was at.
Uh-huh. Except you weren't at one. Or
shut up.
When you were at one, there's no holes left for you. You were playing musical chairs and they were all gone by the time you were there. It's like, oh, you were the first one knocked out. But I also played Nimble Quest, which is the latest game from Nimblebit, who is the company behind Pocket Frogs, Pocket Planes, and Tiny Tower. But this is a different game because it's more of an actual game. It's like Snake, but you have these characters and you control like Snake, but then there are these different like monsters and different enemies that pop up on screen, and then you attack them, and they'll drop coins or they'll drop power ups, like making you attack faster or give you a shield. And it's pretty fun. I'm pretty sure it's free because all their games are free, and they're like, you know, in app purchases, but you don't need to purchase anything. And you can upgrade your characters and stuff like that. You unlock new characters as you beat stages. So I dig it, and there's no risk in trying it out. Yeah. But you have to, you wouldn't like it because you don't like Snake in general, right?
Exactly.
So, but I mean, if you do like that kind of gameplay, hard lines, then I think it's worth checking out. And then I just put on Puzzle Quest 2 because I've been playing a lot of that, even though I hate that game. I just play it because every time I'm playing it, you can pretty much be guaranteed that it's because I'm eating at that time. I'm like, I'm playing this while I'm eating something. That's it. Puzzle Quest 2, it's so much worse than the original Puzzle Quest. They put in this bullshit thing to make it seem like a dungeon crawler, but it's just, oh, here, we're going to push you along this path the entire time. And you can't really move around. There's no kind of like random encounters. It's just, here, click that dot, move. Oh, you ran into a monster. Oh, here, you can search this area and find a trap, but no matter what, you still have to fucking disarm the trap even after you find it. Stupid. What the hell's the point of finding it then? Dumb shit.
I don't know. All right, so you watched the movies.
Yeah, I watched Bully. Not the movie, but the more recent documentary. And it was... It's okay. I feel like it, you know, maybe they couldn't find anybody willing to do it, but it would have been more interesting if they actually followed some bullies too, and not just the victims. But it's okay. I mean, as somebody who was bullied and very badly during high school, it is sort of that kind of thing where it just brings back these bad memories that, I don't know.
I would have protected you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you would have been just as bullied. Or the bullier.
No, I was never a bullier. Never was the bully.
But it's okay. And it's not the most remarkable doc I've ever seen. And it didn't elicit emotions as much as I thought it might. There's a lot of stupidity in there, I think, on the there's this one principal of this school they followed, and she'd be like, oh, I bet, you know, like somebody, kid got bullied, and she's trying to like get them to like shake hands and forgive each other. Like, I bet you guys would be the best of friends after this.
Oh, God.
You were the fucking dumbest person in the world. And there's like a town. I can hear myself.
I know. I accidentally hit the damn volume. Whoa, what the hell? I don't know what the hell's. There we go. Is that better?
Hello? Hello? Oh, yes. I can't hear myself. This is so much better.
Sorry about that.
Bully. Yeah. I don't remember what I was going to say. Oh, there was like a town hall thing where they were just, I don't know. That's, if anything, the best part of the thing is how it shows the ignorance of adults and people regarding bullying, acting as if it's, you know, not as big of a deal as it really is.
Right.
So yeah.
That is a problem is, you know, as a kid, you didn't want to go tell on them because it just made it worse because nothing was ever done about it. And it's sad to see that it's still the same way.
Yeah, like one time when I was walking home from school, from high school, and I was like, there are three kids following me, like one in front of me, one behind me, one on the side. And then I was like, I was close to my house, and I think they were about to try and jump me. And I was prepared. I was like, I'm going to, because I'm not one to start a fight, but I will defend myself. And I was ready to beat the shit out of them because they were three potheads, and I'm pretty sure I could have taken them. Because I'm not, like, I'm not big. I'm not tall or anything, or, you know, big old chubby or anything. But I am I'm physically fit, and I could handle myself. So I would have been there. But then, like, right at that moment, my mom pulled up, and she got out of her car in the middle of the street. And, like, just did what mothers do and then went to school the next day. And that did not make things better. Because that never makes anything better. You can't, you know, telling people, you know, about the problems only makes them worse.
Yeah, we went to high school. We had this there was this redheaded dude that rode our bus, and we could not fucking stand this dude. He always picked on me, Ben, and another friend that was with us on the bus. And to this day, I don't know why we were scared of him, because he was like, he was tall, but he was so lanky, and the two of us together would have fucking owned this dude. I don't know why we're not violent people.
Yeah,
I was just gonna say
I think it's that whole mentality of like, even if you're big or something, you're not one to like start something.
Yeah.
You don't want to, in a way, become the bully.
Yeah. And it's just that, you know, on the weekends, man, me and Ben and all these kids are like beating the shit out of each other, doing like backyard wrestling and stuff. But we wouldn't take this fight to a real kid that was being a punk to us. I mean, I don't understand why you're right. I guess part of it's just the fact that I didn't want to beat the shit out of somebody.
If you start the fight, you're the one that's going to get in trouble.
I think that's a lot of it too. Is in our school, man, it was a criminal offense to be in a fight at school, even if you didn't start it, and that's ridiculous. So you're not allowed to defend yourself. So all the rich kids could fucking pick on you, because if you did get in a fight, well, their daddies would get them out of it, you know, and so you're fucking stuck.
Yeah.
And had to take their shit.
I hated high school. I didn't have any friends till senior year. I don't know if I got like a couple, but it was a miserable time. But I also watched Salmon Fishing in the Yemen.
Yeah, that sounds like a fantastic.
It wasn't too bad. It's based on a book, I guess, with stars Ewan McGregor and Emily Blunt, which is the main reason as to why I wanted to see
it. What the hell was that?
That's my phone. Forget it. Battery's low. But that was the main reason why I wanted to see it. I also heard it wasn't too bad. And it's, you know, sort of like a romantic comedy with some dramatic elements. But what I really hate about this movie and what turned me off is that it is just, you know, it has all the most perfect, you know, it's just like everything happens like perfectly. It's like, oh, what a coincidence. Or like, this is just like, oh, of all the things that could happen, this happens, even though in real life that shit would never happen. And I'm going to spoil shit in this, so if you care about salmon fishing in the Yemen, you turn off the podcast, because shit's about
I gotta go, Kush.
But like the real point, like, and I would always call these moments because I just felt like this movie is going down that bullshit territory. But like, the whole premise is that there's this like rich, like guy who lives in the Middle East or whatever, who wants to bring salmon fishing to the Yemen or whatever, where, you know, and, you know, there are these groups who want to kill him, and they send this guy to assassinate him. And Ewan McGregor stops this man by getting him in the face with a lure. He hooks him.
Does he have a mustache? A Snidely Whiplash mustache?
No.
Man, they really missed an opportunity.
This isn't Punch Out. But it's all this ridiculous thing. And like Emily Blunt, she was going out with a guy who was in the military for 3 weeks, and then he ends up going MIA, and his entire squad gets wiped out.
But then all of a sudden,
shut the fuck up, you stupid.
And then he comes back.
Okay, fuck. I'm done. Forget it. Move on. I'm done. No. Part of Bioshock Infinite.
Justified. You watched him Justified.
I don't care anymore. Just go on to Bioshock or fucking. Just go.
Well, I did read The Art of Bioshock book last night, Bioshock Infinite. It's a nice little art book. It's not as nice as the Zelda one, but it's pretty cool. So, but real quick, DuckTales Remastered. I'm excited for that. Cannot wait for that. You're really not going to talk anymore, are you?
No, I'm pretty much done. I'm excited too. There you go.
Did you ever play the original NES version? I'm guessing that you probably did.
Yes, I own both of them.
Awesome. I never got to play the second one. It came out very late.
It's okay.
I've played it like a couple of times, like on emulators and stuff, but it never felt the same. But
yeah, it's not the original, but it's okay.
And I did hear that if DuckTales does real well, they'll do Rescue Rangers. So excited about that.
I would like to see. Well, I mean, this wouldn't happen because it. Well, I don't know who published it. If it's Cap, I don't remember the exact name, but The Adventures of Little Nemo in Dreamland or whatever it's called.
Oh,
I love that game.
That was Capcom, but I don't know who you're right. I don't know who has the rights to that. If there's anybody
to I would love to see a remastered version of that.
I hated that game for one reason. I didn't have an instruction manual when I rented it and did not know that you had a laser beam that come out of a wand. Could not figure out how to do anything in that game because all I could do was throw fucking candy. Did not realize if you held the button down, you shot a laser. That would have changed everything.
Yeah.
Xbox Live Rewards Play to Earn started something new in April where basically if you play 20 hours of any 20 hours of a combination of arcade games, you receive a free avatar item. If you purchase any four arcade games for 400 points or more, you receive a 1 month free of Xbox Live, which that's a pretty good deal if you buy four games, but the problem is there's nothing coming out that I really am that interested in. And then if you spend 3,200 Microsoft points on arcade games, you receive 800 Microsoft points in return. That's a step in the right direction. It's still not as good as PlayStation Plus, but it's a big step.
But that's pretty much, that is the equivalent, but actually a better deal in terms of their pay 50, get 10 bucks, because they're asking you to pay 40 and get 10 bucks back.
Yeah, but you got to buy arcade games.
Yeah, it's very specific, so.
And some of the games are coming out this month.
But also, if you do that, then you end up getting that free month, too. So,
No, that's true. That's true. That's a good deal. Some of the games that are coming out this month is Battle Block Theater, which is the new game by the Castle. That's the Castle Crasher.
Yeah,
guys.
It's like fucking finally. I won't believe it until it's actually there and I could download it.
Every time I've seen that game, it just doesn't look interesting to me, though.
Well, I went by the huge PAX booth and I'm like, it was pretty crowded. I'm like, I don't care enough. It would probably be a fun game to play, but it's been so long that I really don't care anymore.
Yeah, Double Dragon 2 is coming out. I don't know anything about that. Hopefully that's better than Double Dragon 1 was, because that was a terrible version.
It doesn't matter, because it's not Double Dragon Neon, which is the best.
Motocross Madness. I don't know. I guess that's a motocross game. Duh. Sacred Citadel is a sacred game that's like side scrolling. That looked kind of interesting. I don't know if it's going to be any good. I've never heard of God Mode or Monaco. But those are some of the games that you can buy. And games that you can play this month as arcade is Minecraft, Terraria, Trials, Evolution, Counter Strike.
And I'm sure that also, you know, going towards these things would be the discounted games of weekly deals and stuff.
If they're arcade, though.
Well, yeah.
Counter-Strike, Castle Crashers, The Walking Dead, and Limbo. Ugh, I had an annoying thing happen to me last night. I went over to my friend's house with my Xbox, and I had bought a new Xbox since I bought a lot of these arcade games. And I was like, cool, we can play the Simpsons arcade game. Then I realized that I had not transferred all my licenses over, and he doesn't have internet. So therefore, I was shit out of luck of playing anything. That's fucking annoying. So the first thing I did when I got home was transfer my licenses over. But that's just so stupid. Ugh. And they announced Metal Gear 5. That's the biggest joke.
You don't want somebody who's just is able to download everything off onto.
But if it's tied to your gamer tag, I don't understand. That's what I don't understand is my gamer tag. I was able to load my gamer tag that should have all my licenses on it. It's just so stupid.
Well, maybe it doesn't. I don't know who could, whatever.
Metal Gear 5 was announced.
Whoop-de-doo.
It's going to be open world. I'm kind of interested because it's open world, although I'm really pissed off that David Hayter has no part as playing Snake. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, that could change.
That's what I think, too. I think enough people will be upset about that they'll change it. And it may be something that they didn't want to, because Kojima tried this whole take the world shocking.
It could just be that Snake is in it for 5 minutes and then you play as Raiden's son, who is 4 years old. You play the game as a toddler.
Yeah. Maybe you play Sonny. Yeah. Anyway.
You play a share.
Anyway, so let's get to we're going to spoil the shit out of BioShock Infinite now. So you may want to turn this off. So I guess we get the plugs and everything out of the way. So Kush, what do you want to plug?
PixelatedSausage.com, PixelatedRadio.com. On the Twitters, I'm at Kush3, the site is at PSausage, and the podcast is at Pixelated Radio. And you should also check out the YouTube channel, youtube.com/PixelatedSausage. You can check out all the usual videos, and now Rob has his own little quick looks with Mr. Wood. And also check out some other great podcasts, Sign In Podcast at signinpodcast.com, the Pull List Podcast at Pull List. No, what the fuck? The Pull List Podcast at pseudoradio.blogspot.com, Twitter Nerd Comic Cast at twitternerd.com, and Undercover Unitards at undercoverunitards.com, which goes to the Facebook page.
And
I'm so behind on podcasts, man.
Yeah, I know. I don't get to listen to them very as much as I used to, and now there's been some good games where I wanted to pay attention to the story. I haven't been listening to anything, but
I'm like subscribed to like 50. I don't know.
I'm Henderson Man on just about everything, so look me up. Add me. If you add me on Wii U, let me know so I can add you back.
Buy Fairway Solitaire and play because it's the greatest game ever. And who knows, maybe one day they'll have a deck for Pixelated Sausage. They said there's potential for that to happen in one of their daily things.
What would be in the deck? I mean, what would...
No, just be the back cover.
Oh, gotcha.
Which would be awesome.
That would be awesome. I would buy the game when that happens.
That would be amazing. The most ridiculous thing that ever happens.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of stuff that's ridiculous. Anyway, let's get on to spoiling BioShock Infinite. So how do you want to start this?
I'll just jump right in.
Alrighty. So
racism.
Yeah. There's a lot of racism in there. But there's not as much as I thought there was.
Yeah, it starts off with it and then it just kind of ignores it. It just kind of throws it to the back burner and doesn't ever go back to it, and that was kind of annoying.
You hear some derogatory terms, but you don't hear very many derogatory terms. You hear chink for the Chinese guy a couple of times. You show the Irish drunk, but you never really hear the N word dropped. You hear Negro a lot, but you don't hear the other one.
That was probably they didn't want to go that far.
Maybe.
I think in a way they didn't want to go that far in the way that they just sort of stopped talking about it after the first like quarter of the game.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff that happened that I seen in previews for the game that did not actually make it into the real game. I was kind of disappointed. Like, there was a whole scene early on where they showed her trying to revive a horse, and that never happened in the game. I don't know, man. It was just, there was a couple of things like that that I just remember seeing in the videos where I was like, oh yeah, that's so cool, and it's like, it's not there. But she has ability to these tears, and some of that stuff was really cool. Although the stuff in combat was kind of weak, the fact that you could only open one tear at a time and stuff like that. But
it was whatever. It's just like, okay, open this tear. Open the cover tear is the worst.
Yeah.
It's not really that great of a cover.
I did always like when I got a mosquito because. Yeah.
Or the Patriot or whatever they're called.
Yeah. But a lot of times, some of those things didn't last very long because they would get shot at first. So when you get to the ending, this game is really that hard to, it's really pretty hard to explain.
Butterfly effect.
Butterfly effect mixed a little bit with Schrodinger's cat in a lot of sections. Very quantum physics-y.
I was so tempted to tweet that BioShock Infinite is butterfly effect. But then a few people would be pissed off at me.
So, at the end of the game, you basically find out that that Booker DeWitt is actually Comstock. That's kind of the biggest reveal. Besides the fact that Elizabeth is really your daughter, even though your Comstock was sterile. But basically, you had a lot of debts to pay.
Well, Comstock, that version of Booker DeWitt, was sterile.
Yeah. Yeah. But basically, when you get into the whole quantum physics of it and everything, is that basically there was a divergence in the timeline when Booker DeWitt was supposed to be absolved of his sins through baptism. Mm-hmm. And there's two different timelines where one he did it and one that he didn't do it. And the one that he didn't do it, his life basically spiraled out of control. He had debts, but he did meet a woman. He had a child. The woman that he married, nothing's ever said about her, really, beside the fact that they had a daughter, and she wasn't there anymore. So, I mean, it's a guess that she maybe died during childbirth or something like that.
Something like that.
But in the other timeline, he went on, he was absolved of his sins, became the prophet, and basically
started
Columbia.
Stuff.
So, basically, there was the Lutessa,
And then he's when he starts calling me in that timeline, he needs an heir, and since he can't actually have one, he you know goes looking through the people who created his floating city. I don't remember the name.
Lutessa.
Yeah, her, and then her brother, which is not her brother; it's just an alternate version of her.
Right.
Like, and they meet through one of the rifts and all that, but like he uses that to go back and get Elizabeth to have an heir.
Right. That was one of the saddest scenes for me. That's when I cried, is when you're stuck in the room and you have to give him the baby, and I didn't want to. But she said, no matter what you do, you're going to eventually give it to him anyway, because you already gave it to him. So he tries to re-dig on the deal, and when they take the baby through the portal, the pinky finger gets ripped off when the portal closes.
And that's why
causes the rift.
And that's also why she has the thimble over her pinky.
Right.
Not just because they're fashionable in Paris.
But because because she exists in two worlds, one part of her exists in one world and part of her exists in another alternative. That's why there's two different Booker DeWitts and Comstocks or whatever.
What I didn't really like is the point at which they were in Rapture.
Oh, I fucking love that.
I kind of liked it and kind of hate it just because I feel like, oh, you're going to pigeonhole this in here. And I'm guessing, like, the way I look at it is that, in a way, you know, Andrew Ryan and Jack, that's just another alternate version of Booker DeWitt and whatever.
Right, Comstock.
That is what that whole thing was. And I'm like, though, that's kind of clever, but I feel like that was more so pigeonholed into it. Like, they're like, how can we put this in there?
But I love the fact that they said, you know, it always deals with a man and a city and a girl. Which, Rapture, I don't know, I guess that's the little sisters is what the girl was supposed to be. Cause
I would assume so.
But, and I love the lighthouse. And the lighthouse is that.
That's the infinite nature of, that's where the title comes in, is that everything's, it's always, all these things. There's just an infinite number of different possibilities.
So there's one scene early on I did like, or not early on, later on, when you meet old Elizabeth, and she's standing there, and you just can't see that she's old, but she, like, her voice is different. And but what was really cool about that is because you see that painting all throughout the game of her standing there on a ledge in a silhouette, and you think it's her mother. And it's actually Elizabeth, but you see that painting several places in the game. And I thought that was really cool that, oh, this is how this all plays out. But, so basically Elizabeth becomes the heir, and one timeline she gives in and she destroys New York. They come and destroy New York. I can't, there's a car sign on the building and I think it says 1994, but it may say 1984. I don't know what year it is that basically New York gets destroyed by Columbia. But there's all these different divergent timelines, and all the stars in the skies at one point are talking about how each of those is a tear into another reality or something like that. But very quantum physics-y. Basically the game ends when you decide that to stop Comstock you have to die before he's ever created. So basically all the Elizabeths show up.
Like you're all, what you were trying to do the whole time is before you realize that you are the same person, is to kill him before he's born. And it's not actually when he was born, but when you were born again.
Right.
And though, like, you see Booker DeWitt being, like, he ends up getting drowned by, like, three different versions of Elizabeth, or roughly. And the way I look at that is that, That is Comstock being drowned and killed, but not Booker DeWitt. So that the and that kind of, you know, with the after the credits part is kind of saying that Booker DeWitt, he's still alive. He lived because he didn't get, you know, he didn't go through with the baptism, so he wouldn't be drowned there anyway. But that version that went on to be all crazy and shit, that's him dying.
And then after the credits roll, you walk into the room and you say Anna, and then that's how it ends. Because you don't ever actually see Anna, but it's kind of supposed to insinuate. That's where I get the Schrodinger's cat moment. Did it really work? Because at that point, you don't know. There's either a baby in the crib or there's not.
Mm-hmm.
So, very fucking quantum physics-y.
I'm interested to see what the DLC is going to be.
I'm afraid it's going to be stupid shit like time trials.
I'm worried that it's going to be dumb, or potentially like it might, at when you end up playing it, feel like it was a necessity for the story. Though I feel like the story itself, as it is per, you know, it's full story.
So you like the story? You just
didn't, I really like the story. I don't like the gameplay because it's the same shit, and it's not as fun. The splicers are more fun to me than the regular enemies and of
Infinite. I think
Infinite.
There was too much combat.
The Big Daddy is so much further and beyond any enemy in BioShock Infinite.
So what was your favorite tonics? Or
The figures. And that's another problem with this game is that I didn't feel compelled to really use my vigors that much. I was fine just shooting shit, which made it not as fun just because I never felt like, and I think it's a good vigor to have the what's it called? The first one you get, the possession. But it's a horrible one to start off with because it takes up the most, whatever that shit is called. You're blue juice.
Right. You're salt.
You only get like three. You can only use it.
When you start the game, you only use two.
See, it's even worse. You can only use two. So that, I mean, it's like there are other ones where you can use a whole bunch of them because it just takes off this little bit. But I probably used Horsey Face, which lifts, you know, like lifts up the
Bronco
enemies.
Buster.
Yeah, I use that one. I'm not paying attention to these names, but I use that one a lot because it was just like is an easy way to incapacitate a whole bunch of enemies and just then I could shoot them all. And I like the crows because I just think it's kind of cool. But at the same time, like it's so much like BioShock, it's just the bees.
Yeah,
now crows.
But the thing I liked about the crows was when you got the ability that lets you turn dead ones into traps. That made a fucking murder field of the. If you hit it in the right spot and enough people died with those crows, it was fucking amazing how many more you killed just because they're dumbasses walking into that trap.
And I found the lack of variety in the fact that the majority of all the vigors, their secondary option was just a trap.
Yeah,
and
that was annoying.
Be more interesting than just having the same shit over and over again.
And some of the vigors I just found totally useless, like the fucking charge.
I never used that.
I mean, who the hell goes to that game trying to do melee all the time? It just didn't seem. I don't know. And the one where it was a shield was kind of cool. I used it occasionally, but it was so.
I never used that because I felt like I just end up using too much salt. So I'm like, forget it. I don't want to use this. It's kind of cool. It's like in the Matrix, but then you could shoot them back. Or like in the Mask where you eat them all in your mouth and then you spit them out. Yes, I referenced the Mask. My life is complete.
So,
but yeah. I was so disappointed with the enemies. There's not at all one that's interesting. I mean, the one that's kind of interesting, but she's more so annoying, is the siren or whatever, which is like the ghostly thing that just, then they just bring up everyone back to dead and I'm like, fucking die already.
Yeah.
It's enough. Yeah. I'm like, I have no ammo. For the love of God, just die.
I do like the atmosphere they created at the beginning of the game, though.
I think also it's a minor annoyance, but like there would be cutscene-ish moments where you see both your hands and they're just fine, and then when you jump right back in the gameplay, you magically have your stupid thing attached to your left hand again.
Your vigor?
No, not the vigor.
Oh,
the sky hook.
Gotcha.
So that's just kind of annoying. Like, oh, he took it off so the cutscene wouldn't look so weird with him. Like, I'm going to grab something with, oh, yeah, I have a sky hook on my hand.
So, did you find any of the hidden songs or stuff? I'm sure you did. You were pretty thorough to me. Like, Tainted Love.
Yeah.
I love that. That was an awesome version of Tainted Love. And even the credits at the end had an awesome song. What was that? I can't remember. There was a song I was like, oh, that's pretty fucking cool.
Well, the one everyone, I think, knows about mainly is the Beach Boys song.
Yeah, that's the first one you run into as you go into the city.
I didn't
even know that was, I've heard that, I think I've probably heard that song before, but I didn't know it was Beach Boys until somebody else brought it up.
Yeah.
So, but I think that'll be it, unless there's anything else that you wanted to hit on.
I would like to know if anyone, you know, would throw that ball at the couple, the interracial couple in the beginning.
Well, I know I know Big Steven did because he said everybody else.
Of course he did.
He said because everybody else was going to throw it at the announcer, so he wanted to see something different. Then later on, I told him basically when you did later on, you run into them and they give you a gear for saving them. So yeah.
When he did that, did it actually throw it at him or was he stopped it?
No, he was stopped.
Okay.
Yeah, they were stopped either way. So.
And did you get your hand hurt or not? Did you just like pull out your gun or did you like try to push the guy off with your words at that one point, like some bar?
Dude, I have no idea what you're talking about.
So you never got stabbed in the hand and had a blue like bandage over your hand the entire time? Well, that happens on your right hand. If you like, there's a point where it's like I think you're trying to get a ticket or something, and the guy is just ignoring you on the phone or something, and you could either pull out your gun like.
I threatened him. That's right.
There you go. I didn't. I was just like, come on, and then I got my hand stabbed.
I was worried. I was like, I was trying to get Elizabeth out of there. These people are making comments. I'm like, I'm getting ready to get attacked, and so I'm like, fuck this dude. He's gonna give me a fucking ticket, or I'm gonna kill him.
And it's also stupid, like, there aren't that many moments where it even matters, but the fact that at some points there is stealing, like, you can steal things, but everything else is, like, fine. Like, you can take all the bottles off of this restaurant, you can drink all the bottles you want, but don't touch the cash register or this one bottle behind the front desk.
And then there's a lot of times you can come back to those areas and you can get that stuff anyway, so it didn't matter to
like
steal it.
Like, I was, like, being all nice and then, you know, you get to the end point of this area and then they, like, we know you're bad, and then I'm like, so everyone just fucking freaked out anyway, and they're all gone, so whatever.
That's something else I didn't like, is that even the fact of switching between your vigors, not even using them, just switching between them, would alert every enemy around you that you're going to do something. Man. That was kind of fucking annoying. And the fact that there was no way to really be stealthy, because as soon as you... I mean, just in areas where, like, I'm going to possess this machine, as soon as you took out the possession, everybody freaked the fuck out. That really annoyed the piss out of me.
I think the sniper rifle is way too overpowered.
I never used it. I used mostly machine guns.
You can
guns.
Just shoot from the hip with that thing and just take out everything with one shot. It's fucking ridiculous.
So, the Vox Populi, I thought that was kind of a little interesting when you found out in a different reality when Booker DeWitt actually was with them at one time or another and he died. That was pretty cool. But
yeah, I think
there was so much.
There also, in terms of the story, like he'd have it would be broken by the game in a way, in the sense that I think it was mentioned on Weekend Confirmed too. But like, they'd have this very emotional moment, and then you'd jump right back in the gameplay.
It's like, I found
this money. Here, you want it? Okay.
Yeah, that was after she kills Daisy Fitzroy, and it's like immediately you got to go unlock this door, and she's like, and you're like, hey, can you help me with this? Sure thing. You mean this little lock? No problem. It's like, ugh. But that's just games. Video games, you know. They're funny.
But I think like this game and Enslaved, I think if done right, a story can be so much better if you have some companion with you for the entire game.
Yes.
And if it's handled well, like not like in Resident Evil 5 where it's just like this annoying thing, but if it means something and it's just like, it can add so much more. I think those kind of games really, like even like in Persona 4, where you can grow an affinity towards a few of the characters, and you might bring them with you every time you battle. Like you really like Chie. What would happen if that game allowed her to die, or you know, just like if she wasn't there, like
Chie would be staying at the house making me a sandwich.
I think there's a lot to that. So
yeah, but I do want to give a shout out to Zombie Princess and Hotcakes Man again for. Showing up to watch me finish the game. That was a lot of fun to have somebody there watch you, especially considering I didn't know how long I had left to finish the game, but apparently it took me over 3 hours to do. So,
and it is a long ending, like at the point which gameplay really stops and you're just going through the motions. That does take a while. And it's nice that I figured they wouldn't do it after the backlash over BioShock's ending. Like I kept worrying like, am I going to have to fight this fucking songbird?
Yeah.
But no, you get to use it.
The last fight is just as fucking annoying.
The last fight is just like a horde mode-ish type of thing where you just have to defend this area and you get to use songbird on occasion and the recharge rate depends on how big the enemies that you've fought, and I'm just like, come on, I'm sick of this. It's taking too long.
So I died the first time, and then the second time I almost died, and they're screaming at me in chat, quit using they kept telling me not to use the thing where you, the skylines, because apparently, I don't know why I kept jumping on them, because I know what it was. I kept jumping on them because I thought that was the only way I could get the songbird to attack things, because it seemed like when I was on the ground, I couldn't ever aim at anything and get him to attack them. So I kept jumping up on the skyline to have that happen. And I was like, oh, okay, that's what the problem is. I don't have to do this. So, and after that, I was able to beat it pretty. I almost died there the second time, but if I had done it the third time, I would have had everything figured out, but I got it through it the second time.
Yeah.
And it's over.
Didn't die there. I died once when I wasn't really paying attention. And then one time I forgot to attach to a skyhook. But that doesn't work in the same way. That's just like you magically teleported back.
Yeah, that was weird. That took me out of the game a little bit too when that happened. To make up. Oh, yeah. If you fail protecting the ship and it blows up, you have to do it all over from the beginning. So imagine how annoying that is.
Annoying?
Yeah.
I would imagine.
If I would have died that second time, I probably would have quit for a while. So. But that's pretty, I think I'm done.
Yeah. And after I took the time to think about it, yeah, I do prefer BioShock overall.
I still think BioShock Infinite's better, but I understand your opinion. I understand why Vodcrack is a little concerned about why this.
I would also agree with him that, you know, and this is completely a personal feeling, but I am more interested in the underwater world than the world in the sky. I mean, I've always been more interested in like marine biology and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, but I will say this, the circle, the song, the circle unbroken is the perfect song for that game though. Especially after you beat it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes so much sense. Talking about a city in the sky, heaven, you know, and the fact that it is a circle because it's an unending circle. No matter what happens, it just starts all over again.
I'm very interested to see what Irrational Game does next.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they'll go back to BioShock one more time, or do you think they're done?
I hope to God they're done.
I don't think they can do anything else with BioShock.
If they did it would just end up feeling so stale and like, oh, now it's just BioShock. They would take away from the past games too and just start feeling like a Call of Duty, like, oh, this is just that franchise, whatever.
I think they can expect this. I'm thinking maybe sometime in the future they may have another BioShock story, but I think they'll go on to something else this time and then maybe come back. So, I think there's probably one more BioShock story out there. I just don't know when I don't think it'll be the next game.
I think there is a potential to do something that is something that more so, you know, can stand on its own, but is more encompassing of BioShock and Infinite.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of middle ground thing.
I just hope that they don't make a BioShock Infinite 2 like they did with BioShock 2.
That'd be weird.
Yeah, I don't know how they would do that because that game wasn't even made by any of the people that made the first one. So, yeah, it just wouldn't make it.
The new BioShock from Irrational Games would be BioShock Purgatory, since Columbia is a heaven in a way, and Rapture was a hell. It was already dead by the time you arrived.
So it'll take place on Earth during present times?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's going to be it for the show.
It's made by Terminal Reality.
No! All right, that's going to be it. Gentlemen, have a nice day.
Elizabeth looked so much better when she cut her hair.
Oh, yeah, she did. And put on the blue outfit. Yeah. Very, very, very awesome character. Loved Elizabeth.
Yeah, and fucking Booker. I think they're both great characters.
Yeah. So,
it's weird. To me, it's weird that that voice comes out of his face. I don't know.
I don't know. You don't really ever see his face enough to get a feel of what his voice should sound.
Oh, I mean the face of the actor, of Troy.
Oh. I don't know who Troy Baker is.
Skinny guy with blonde hair.
Mm.
Who looks like?
At the end of the video. Duh.
Yeah, he looks like somebody who would. What the hell do you call those people who are in anime? Otaku.
Oh. All right, can we end the show now?
Yeah,
we good.
We're good.
All right, later.
Adios, everybody.